Well, greetings, radio friends, in the precious name of God's beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, coming to you with another radio broadcast of plain and straightforward gospel preaching. Yes, and I'm here today in the fear of God alone and in love for your soul. And friends, I believe in being honest about the truth of God's Word, and so that's the reason I tell it like it is. I don't believe in a watered-down gospel like some people preach in order to please their listeners. Friend, I have to stand someday before Jesus Christ, and I've got to give an account of my stewardship in the gospel. And I trust that I'll never be charged with being guilty of mishandling the truth of God. Now, I'm aware of the fact that most people don't like to hear the truth, and it's been that way from Adam on down to the present time. But friend, what you do with the truth is entirely up to you. And it's your soul that must exist in either one of two places for all eternity. If you're saved and born again, then your soul will be in heaven. On the other hand, if you're not saved, if you've never been born again, and you die in that spiritual condition, you'll end up in hell and the lake of fire. So friend, that's the reason I would plead with you today to give heed to the Word of God. Yes, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, and believe me, time is running out, you're going to spend all eternity weeping and wailing and grinding your teeth. And furthermore, friend, when you drop into the flames of hell, you'll remember me telling you that you would remember. So please, friend, give heed to God's Word and accept God's salvation as expressed in the finished work of His Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross. Now today we're going to listen to a hymn which I've written myself. As some of you know, I've written a number of hymns. But we're going to listen to the first hymn I ever wrote, and it's entitled Calvary. And it's going to be sung by the Calvary Singers of Vancouver, British Columbia.
I love to sing of Calvary, for there the Savior died for me. Was there He suffered on the tree, from sin and death to set us free. Calvary, the place of shame, Man of Sorrows was His name. But oh, the joy He brings to me, I'll praise Him through eternity. I love to talk of Calvary, for there He shed His blood for me. For there the Savior bled and died, and by that blood we're justified. Calvary, the place of shame, Man of Sorrows was His name. For all the joy He brings to me, I'll praise Him through eternity. I love to think of Calvary, for thoughts of love He has for me. For there to finish Jesus Christ, and we to save are sanctified. Calvary, the place of shame, Man of Sorrows was His name. But all the joy He brings to me, I'll praise Him to eternity. I love to look at Calvary, to see God's grace revealed to me. But there the Lamb of God was slain, and we through Him are born again. Calvary, the place of shame, Man of Sorrows was His name. But all the joy He brings to me, I'll praise Him through eternity. It won't be long, I'll soon be home. I'll join the throng before the throne. No more I'll look
Before opening the scriptures, let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the value and the virtue of his death at Calvary and the shedding of his precious blood, without which there can be no remission for sin. Honor afresh thy Son and thy word by saving souls today. Bless thy word today, Father, about to go forth, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now then, those of you who have the scriptures handy would want to care to follow me in the scriptures. I'll be reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs, chapter 14, and verse 12. This is Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Let me repeat that. This is Proverbs 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. And the Lord will add his blessing to the public reading of his word. Now, friends, down through the ages, man has proven himself to be incurably religious. Wherever man is found, you're bound to find some sort of religion. And as a result, there are hundreds of religions in the world today, and what's more, they're constantly on the increase. But regardless of the number of religions in the world, there is still only one Bible way of salvation. Yes, what does the Bible have to say about God's salvation? Friend, the Bible makes it clear that there's only salvation through personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as one's own Savior and Lord. You know, in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, not one of the ways. He says, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Again, in John 10 and 9, he declares, I am the door, not one of the doors. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And even the Apostle Peter testifies to this fact, when he says in Acts 4 and 12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. Now these people to whom Jesus and Peter spoke, yes, were very religious. In fact, they were the most religious people in the world at that time. They were very, very religious, but friend, listen, the Bible distinguishes sharply between being religious and being saved. The Word of God clearly teaches that there is absolutely no salvation apart from faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Strictly speaking, Christianity is not a religion at all, but it is a life. It is a living person. It is far more than a religion. It is Christ. Webster's Unabridged Dictionary defines religion as, and I quote, any system of faith or worship, the outward manifestation of belief in a supreme or superior being, unquote. Now, for that reason, friend, I say that being religious does not make one a Christian, and simply believing in God does not make you a child of God. Why, the Bible tells us that the demons believe in God, and what's more, they tremble. My friend, listen. Simply believing in a divine creator does not make you a Christian. A Christian is one who has accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as personal Lord and Savior. And there can be no Christianity without Christ. Why, the very first part of the word Christianity is Christ. That's where Christianity comes from. And yet most people, when they hear a man talk about God and talk about praying to God, and talk about believing in God, they immediately assume that he must be a Christian. Friend, listen, this is not necessarily so. Now then, religion teaches that salvation is by works, or human merit, or church membership, or ordinances, rituals, and self-sacrifice. On the other hand, Christianity teaches salvation is by faith, without works or merit, and through the sacrificial death of another. In this case, the Lord Jesus Christ. In Ephesians 2:8-9, God's Word says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Again, we read in Titus 3:5 that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. No, my friend, your religion will never save your soul. I heard a so-called hymn the other day with these words in it. You go to your church and I'll go to mine, and we'll all go to heaven at the very same time. Friend, that idea is not scriptural. Again, I think of how often I've heard the unsaved sing these words. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Ah, friend, listen. Listen to Jesus Christ as He speaks in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life eternal, and few there be that find it. Now these verses alone should settle all the arguments as to whether or not there is such a thing as universal salvation. It's not according to Scripture, friend. Here the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that many are headed down the broad road leading to destruction, whereas few are on the narrow road to eternal life. Friend, religion will not and cannot save your precious soul. You know, Paul the Apostle, before his conversion on the road to Damascus, was a deeply religious man. In fact, he was a fanatically religious man, but he was not saved. He was a member of the Pharisees, but he was not a Christian. He was a fervent persecutor of the early Christians. Yes, Paul had a religion, but it was taking him down to hell. And friend, many religions of the past as well as the present are likewise leading poor souls to the lake of fire. The ancient Egyptians had religion. The Babylonians had religion. The Greeks had religion. Pagan Rome had religion. The multitudes of Jesus' day, well, they had religion. But friend, listen, they didn't know the gospel. And today, millions upon millions, even in so-called Christian lands, have religion, but no Christ. No Christ. I've often made the statement that I believe that Christ came to save mankind from two things: sin and religion. And the most difficult task is not to save sinners who know they are lost, but religious people who, because of their religion, feel that they don't need a Savior. Friend, again, our text tells us that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Now, the word religion in the Greek original is threskia, and means to frighten, to wail, or to be troubled. The basic meaning of the word religion, therefore, is a ceremonial service caused by fears and troubles. Religion is man's frantic effort to find relief from his fears and his troubles, and friend, even his conscience. When we contrast this with the message of salvation, we find that they have absolutely nothing in common. Religion promotes doubt, whereas faith promotes peace. It produces assurance. And to prove this, just ask a person who is religious if they're saved. They'll probably hesitate. They might stammer, and they'll finally answer, "I hope so," or "I'm trying to be." But you ask a truly born-again person if they're saved, and they will immediately respond with the answer, "Yes, thank God, I am saved." They might go on and tell how they got saved. Now, actually, friend, there are only two gospels in the world today: the gospel of works and the gospel of faith. God's word says salvation is done. Satan, devil, the enemy of your soul, says salvation is by doing. Now, the Bible tells us of several examples of these two gospels. In the case of Adam and Eve, we find a most striking example. You recall how they sinned against God, and when they saw their sinfulness or nakedness, they turned to religion and the works of their own hands. In Genesis 3 and verse 7 we read, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Yes, they sought to hide their sinfulness with the efforts of their own hand, just like many people today. They're still in the apron-making business. They're making aprons of self-righteousness and religious ritual. Now, friend, instead of crying out to God for mercy, they sought salvation in a covering for their sin by the works of their own hands. And today, from the frigid, barren wastelands at the top of the world to the sweltering, torrid jungles of the tropics, mankind invents his religions. Yes, his religion to cover his sinfulness or nakedness. He sews together the fig leaves of good works, the fig leaves of church membership and rituals, hoping that this will find favor in God's sight. Friend, again I say, yea, God says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. A lot of people today, I believe, feel that as long as you're sincere about your religion, that everything's going to be all right in the end. Friend, listen. Listen. The pagan mother in far-off Africa or Asia who tears the sucking babe from her warm, loving breast and with a cry of utter despair casts the baby into the river of crocodiles is only, in her ignorance, seeking, like Adam and Eve, to quiet the unrest of a guilty heart within her bosom. And yet, who would dare say that she wasn't sincere? Sincere, yes, but she is sincerely lost. Sincerely wrong, my friend. Sincerity, my friend, is indeed a noble virtue. But sincerity, apart from faith in the blood of Christ, will never take a soul to heaven. A simple analogy to prove this fact is one where I might awaken in the middle of the night with a migraine headache. And stumbling in the dark to the bathroom, I would open the medicine cabinet. Yes, I would open the medicine cabinet looking for some aspirin pills. But friend, listen. I take what I believe to be aspirin, but due to the fact that I'm sleepy and have a headache, I reach for a bottle of pills containing a potent drug. With a grasp of those pills, yes, and taking the water, I swallow them down, and it isn't until I'm found dead in bed that the fact is known I took the wrong pills. Was anyone more sincere about curing my condition than I? No, of course not. I was sincere all right regarding my condition, but I took the wrong way. Sincerity, my friend, regarding one's religion will not guarantee eternal life, unless that sincerity, of course, is based on faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Not long ago, I saw a picture of a Buddhist priest who was so sincere about his religion that he sacrificed himself for his cause by having gasoline poured all over him. Then he set himself on fire. Friend, he was very sincere, very religious. But his sincerity and religion led him from one fire into another. Likewise, Adam and Eve were sincere when they sowed the fig leaves together. But the fig leaves could not take sin away or bring peace to their hearts. And so when the Lord God came to the garden, they hid themselves. And trembling, cringing, and palsied with fear, they sought to hide from God, the only one who could save them and give them peace. Their fig leaves had failed, and they needed something more. And this something more God is now ready to reveal to Adam and Eve. We have the whole story in that one little verse in Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. You know, I believe it's a verse which is all too often overlooked. Here's what we read in Genesis 3 and verse 21. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. What did he do? Why, God himself, at the very beginning of the Bible, set forth the pattern, the principle, and the precept to be followed throughout the entire Word of God. Without the shedding of blood, there can be no remission for sins. Yes, here God reveals for the first time the only acceptable way of salvation for one soul. And there, my friend, are only three things which must be remembered about God's way of salvation. First of all, salvation is the work of God. Salvation is of the Lord, we're told in Jonah 2 and 9. It's not of man at all. God provided the first sacrifice for sin And God provided the last sacrifice for sin in the person of His Son, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Secondly, it must be by the death of an innocent substitute. In Isaiah 53 and verse 5, we're told that Jesus Christ was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. And even in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24 that Jesus Christ bore our sins in His own body on the tree. Now thirdly, God's way of salvation must be by the shedding of blood. God requires this and all of this and nothing less. Any sacrifice which fails to meet these three conditions fails to make atonement. You know, we're told over there in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11 that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And God says, I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for the soul, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Yes, every sacrifice which meets these three conditions, my friend, is always accepted by God. We see it repeated in the case of Cain and Abel. We meet it in the Passover lamb. We see it in the sacrifice of Abraham on Mount Moriah. We find it in all the offerings of the rituals of Israel, the burnt offering, the peace offering, the sin and trespass offerings, and finally, in the fullness of time, God sends the one to whom all of these were but a shadow, even the Lord Jesus Christ. He was God's perfect, holy, and spotless Lamb. And furthermore, when He came, He met all three of the conditions of salvation which were acceptable unto God. First of all, He was the gift of God. For we read in John 3 and verse 16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Secondly, His death was that of an innocent substitute. He was innocent. He was sinless. He was wholly harmless and undefiled. So He and He alone could take the place of a guilty, lost, and hell-deserving sinner. Thirdly, He had to shed His blood as an atonement for sin. Peter tells us that we were not redeemed by corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now then, the first mention of sacrifice in Genesis 3 and 21, whereby God covered the nakedness of our first parents, was a picture and type of the coming Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even before His birth, the angel told Joseph, Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. And John the Baptist, when he saw Him, cried out, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, friend, way back there in the Garden of Eden, God gave revelation concerning the one and only way of salvation, the way of redemption. And that way has never been changed. All other ways are deception and devil-inspired. Paul says, If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. So you see, my friend, there are only two ways, the way of man and the way of God. Man's way is the religious way. God's way is the simple way of faith and grace. Man's way is by the fig leaves of self-righteousness. God's way is the way of sacrifice and the blood of a substitute. Man's way is by religion. God's way is through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, His Son. Yes, in Proverbs 14 and 12 we read, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. But friend, listen. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14 and 6, I am the way. Not one of the ways. I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now let's just stop right there. And let me ask you the all-important question. Are you religious or are you saved? Are you worshiping the pagan god of ritual? Or are you a true believer in Jesus Christ, the Son of Almighty God? Friend, are you a mere professor of Jesus Christ? Or are you truly born again and a possessor of Jesus Christ? Are you going along the way set out for you by your fellow man? Or are you a sinner saved by the grace of God? Are you, friend? You know, 6,000 years ago, God asked Adam the question when Adam and Eve ran and hid from him in the Garden of Eden. He said, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" And poor Adam came out of his flimsy fig leaf apron, still as guilty and still as lost as he was before. But sinner friend, listen. If God were to ask you the same question today, the same question he asked Adam and Eve, how would you answer? Where art thou? Are you on the broad road to hell, or are you on the narrow road to heaven? Are you saved? Are you sure of heaven when you die? Are you resting on the blood of Jesus Christ? Have you ever experienced the new birth from above? Are you heading the straight and narrow road today? Are you, my friend? Yes, friend, it's either heaven or it's hell. But how about you who believe that living a good life is all that is necessary for salvation? How about you who are depending upon baptism or church membership, dedication, or other such rituals for your soul's eternal welfare? God's word clearly states that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. And friend, when God shed the blood of an animal to cover the sinfulness of Adam and Eve, he was setting a pattern which was followed throughout the scriptures, and which was culminated in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son, at the place called Calvary. I talked to a man not long ago who said that he couldn't be saved because he couldn't understand the Bible. Listen, friend, nowhere in the Bible does God say that you must understand it all, but you must believe it. Yes, and furthermore, we'll never be able to understand how God could give his only begotten Son to die the cursed death of the cross for us. We don't deserve God's mercy, friend. We're not deserving of the least of God's mercy. But we must believe the truth of God regarding the fact that he loves us. And friend, you can be saved right now, wherever you are, if you'll simply acknowledge that you're the sinner for whom Christ has died. Admit you can't do a thing to save your own soul. Repent of your sin and simply trust in Jesus Christ and his shed blood as your only hope for God's heaven. Yes, I plead with you today, in love for your soul and in view of eternity, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior, because, friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time, and thank God you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friends, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Father and God, we ask thy blessing upon the word just gone forth. Save souls to the honor and glory of thy Son, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If I can be of any further help in pointing you as a sinner to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I'll be only too happy to do so. Address all letters of inquiry to the Voice of the Gospel, P.O. Box 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, 15134. And now into our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Good day.